Welcome back to Diary of a Reality Competition Podcast Contestant. I'm Alex Albisu, in for Brian Ibbett, keeping a seat warm while we're getting to know the contestants of Season 1 a little better. But today we're not talking to a contestant, we're talking to a judge. It's Nicole Spag. Let's go. Nicole Spag was always that, just that comforting person on the other end of that judging table. She was very constructive, but she was also super nurturing and super just helpful overall. Such an awesome person to collaborate with, to work with, and to act as a mentor in this competition. We talk about how she deals with her own self-doubt and her crippling anxiety, some of the profound things that she's taken away as a judge of this show, and how we're all just potatoes. Yep, potatoes. Here's my conversation with Nicole Spag. Hello, Nicole Spag.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, thanks so much for providing a little bit of a context around your experience with America's Next Top Podcaster. Sure. Excited to talk to you. So why don't we just jump right into things? What was your overall reaction to the show just as we wrapped up that whole feeling for you?
So I had no idea what I was getting into. And I think I've even said this on the show. Like, I was like, sure, Brian, I'll be part of your podcast. And I had no idea what I was agreeing to.
Well, did you just agree because it's Brian and you're it's Brian.
Yeah, I love Brian. I think he's amazing. He's brilliant. He's funny. He's witty.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, yeah, sure. I'd love to hang out with you. I look at podcasts as opportunities to hang out with my friends that I normally don't get to because I have very small children at this point in my life. So it's like a chance for me to kind of stay in touch with my friends. So I just automatically said yes. But I think about halfway through it, I was like, oh, crap. What did I agree to? I almost quit there for a little while because of the scheduling and just life and family. I knew, I don't know, somewhere around halfway through, I was like, oh wow, like it hit me. One of the reasons why I was like, who the hell am I telling these people like that wasn't good or any of that? So I had a lot of self-doubt about halfway through the season and trying to determine if I was the right person to be on the judging side.
That's so funny to hear because I'm sitting here on the other end like, oh my God, I get to have like a conversation with Nicole. This is great. I love Nicole. Oh. And then you're sitting over there like,
who am I? What am I doing? I'd rather listen to Justin the whole time.
Like, no, all of you guys provided really good input. And, you know, I think that one of the things that I very specifically remember was your feedback to Monica when she got kicked off. You had mentioned something about you had experienced social anxiety and you had some ways that you got over that.
Yeah.
What were some of those ways that you did that? Like for our listeners who may be experiencing that today with trying to get into podcasting.
Well, I'll let you know a little secret. Social anxiety never goes away. You just learn how to ride it a different way. So when I was younger in my, you know, late teens, early 20s, I mean, I went to a college that did not require speech. Like I was so deathly afraid of speaking in public that I that was one of my factors of the college I chose to go to on whether or not I would have to do a class like that. But I knew it was a thing that was holding me back. It was, you know, I feared it more than death, really. Mm. So I knew one of my big motivators was money and making a living. So I actually chose a job out of college that would require me to speak, which was to teach. I was a consultant. I taught adults technology classes, but I was really, really bad at it.
But why were you really bad at it? Like,
I would walk up, my face would go red. I would lose my voice. The very first time I tried to do it, I literally just went, and I looked up and thankfully I was teen teaching and I looked at my partner. I said, you're going to have to take over. And I walked out of the room And I went out to my office and I hid underneath my desk and I cried. This is a 21. I was 21 or 22 at the time. It was crippling to me. And thankfully I had an amazing boss at the time who talked to me about it and helped and worked me through it. And she said, look, what happened? What I said, I just had so many thoughts in my head and I couldn't find one to like grab onto. She said, well, it just sounds like you're not comfortable with the material. She's like, I need you to write down everything you're going to say, write it out. And then we're going to practice it. And then she gave me advice on, I bought a ton of books. So Speaking for Dummies, I think I even gave you a suggestion for one. It was Confessions of,
The Rich Dad Before You Quit Your Job.
That one, but there's also another one. It's Confessions of a Public Speaker, which is really amazing. That's more from a speaking perspective. So it really was what I took from that, because you'll hear things like, oh, imagine your audience naked. No, don't do that. Please don't do
that. Yeah, I always thought that one was weird. I was like, I kind of don't want to.
But what I found was I needed to release the anxiety that I was feeling. So early on, I would look for ways, like before I would do a presentation, I'd go to the bathroom and I'd basically do jumping jacks. I would just do weird stuff like that that helped me kind of harness the negative nervous energy and turn it into more positive. Like everybody always, when I finally got good at speaking, they were like, oh, you're so just energetic. And I'm like, it's all nerves. I'm like, it's just all nerves. So it's those kind of things. And I think people with that kind of anxiety don't realize that a lot of speakers are always nervous. It never goes away. I feel like if I'm not nervous, I don't care. So it's that kind of thing. Through the years, you kind of find what works for you, whether it's finding one person and talking to them, whether it's, doing jumping jacks. It's all those little things. And you are the only one that's going to find what works for you, but you can get through it, but it's hard. So for Monica, I felt it. I mean, because I've heard her voice in me so many times. And I know that there's a way to get through it. It takes a lot of work. It's
hard. Well, now, I'm sitting here having a conversation with you. You and I have never met in person, but I feel like we've always gotten along in our conversations. here you are talking to a quote unquote stranger. There's no anxiety. Like, I've never heard that in you. So I love to hear that you've taken what you've learned, you've applied it over the years. Yeah. You are now just such a natural. I think it's so awesome.
You practice, lots of practice. That's the great thing about podcasting. You can practice this without somebody physically being in front of you. That's one of the reasons why I really do love podcasting, is that you just kind of focus on the topic and what you want to say and what you want to put out there. And you don't have people looking at you. They're listening to you. Once you start thinking about how many people are listening, then it might break down. So don't think about that. But yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Right. Yeah. And okay. So speaking of podcasts, what did you take away? We talked about a lot of things that people should do in order to have a really great podcast. Mm. What were some of your takeaways from some of the suggestions that you guys provided as judges that now you're implementing into your own show?
A lot of the why does the listener care? I've always, from an educator background, I've always liked to give takeaways, like resources and things like that. But it really does matter that it's entertaining and you're putting more of yourself out there. I think it was the episode where you guys did the confessionals that really stuck to me, like to the point where I'm like, I need to be more open when I'm on, podcasts and talking. It really does matter that to the person listening. So I know I took that away from the competition. I think hopefully it's made me a better podcaster.
That's really cool. Yeah. I've always been, I've always been very open about stuff personally. And that's something that I've found has really been able to, like, it's allowed me to just relate with people who listen to, like, The Dad Chronicle, for instance.
Yeah.
They love it because I come at it with a very genuine perspective. And I think that that's part of, like, when people just create the show without really thinking about that takeaway or what they're trying to really say in their message.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed. Like, that's such a foundational piece of it.
Well, it allows you to connect to humans, right?
Yeah.
It's, you know, and it's unlike TV, where those people on TV, they're not real people, but they are real people.
Sure.
They are real people. And I think when you kind of break these layers down, you start, you know, even though I may not know you, you know a little bit more about me. It can be a little awkward if we meet in person. But I've over the years, I understand that, you know, because I've actually done that to people. I am a fan of a number of podcasts. I mean, even before meeting, like, getting to know Scott, I was a huge fangirl of Scott Johnson. So when I first met him, I'm like, oh my gosh, Scott Johnson. You know, you build things up in your head sometimes. Maybe not the best idea, but it's human nature.
True. And like he says, you know, we're all just potatoes. And
exactly.
That conversation you guys had on TMS, and I heard that, and then I met Scott in real life. I'm like, oh yeah, we're all just potatoes. It's fine. Yep. Now, speaking of, you know, one of the profound moments that you took away from the podcast, and one of the things that you said, I think it was like towards the later half of the show, was you had that click of like, oh my God, this really means a lot to you guys.
Yeah.
Do you remember what moment it was where you felt that?
I really don't know. I felt like towards the middle, I think when I was hearing about Rishi getting upset, I was like, oh God, oh my God. Like, this is real. Like, it's not just reality TV.
Yeah.
These are real people that we interact with in the community. And oh my God, I would replay in my head. I'm like, oh, did I say something stupid? Oh no. And again, not understanding the big picture that Brian had with the show. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I maybe it was the Rishi moment when I heard that he got upset, and I felt really bad. So,
yeah, you know, and well, don't feel bad, because it was great content for me and my little interview thing with him. So I appreciated it. No, I'm just kidding. But, that is true though. I mean, you know, we all ended up on that show when I, you know, going back to the potato comment, when I received that email from Brian saying, hey, we would love for you to be part of America's Next Top Podcaster. We're going to be meeting on this day. This is kind of the schedule. These are the people you're going to be interacting with: Scott Johnson, Nicole Spag, you know, Justin Robert Young. And I'm like, oh my God, all these people I've looked up to over the years, I just get to like hang out with. This is cool. Like, that was fun.
I really feel like I've made friends from it too. Like,
yeah.
I followed I haven't followed any of my own Twitter forever, and I like followed everybody almost. So
yes, you know, that was fun. I love being able to interact with people like you. I think that also what kind of warrants this feeling of satisfaction with it all is that everybody in the community is so genuinely awesome, and that goes with the podcasters too who are doing this, like you guys. So I think that the fact that you guys, you know, take time to interact with the people who love listening to the content that you guys create, that's super cool. And so yeah, it was super fun to sit down and do this show, and when I heard you say that, I was like, nice, we had an effect. Like, that was fun.
It was a lot of fun. Unexpected fun.
Good. Yeah. I like to end this this interview on a somewhat of a profound question. Okay. So what was the biggest surprise to you about this show, just overall? And you can't say how much we cared about it.
Well, I guess what I've noticed is that you guys are still like working together, and you guys, like, the show actually forged some really cool relationships, and that there are some podcasts that are going to be created. And I would love to like fast forward and see where all of you are and like, where are they now kind of things.
Yeah.
And who knows? You guys were awesome. I really do think that you guys have some really awesome ideas and huge group of talent that honestly, I feel a little bit, I'm like, I'm not a podcaster.
No.
Like, I mean, really, you guys with the, because you were part of the Podcasteers, right? So the fact that you guys are kind of doing your thing together, and I've talked with Joe about what you guys want to do and stuff like that. So I love being a like a idea sparker or someone that can help someone get to the next level. So I've really enjoyed being a person that can, that you guys have come to, you know, talk about, you know, advertising and stuff like that. So I really am excited to see what you guys do together in the future. So maybe hit me up a few years from now and catch me up on what you guys are doing.
No, you'll be along for the journey. We're going to keep you apprised. So
I don't think that answered your question.
No, it did, because I think that the human connection is that piece that that was kind of profound. The fact that we are working together, I've had, you know, this has been great. I don't know, fodder, is that the right word for the DAT Chronicle? I've been talking to Jerry and Joe and
Mark, my husband, he'll probably come on too.
Yeah.
So I think what's really hard, and they always say this, it's really hard to make real friends when you get out of school. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we've been able to kind of forge some, you know, friendships, and it's kind of, I don't know. I have some friends that I've never, you know, I've talked online, and when you do meet them in person, it's like, oh, hey, it's, you know, it's Hokkaido. I've seen you in WoW, but now we're real life friends. And it's funny because you say real life, but it is real life. It's all real life. Internet is life. So yeah. I don't know. It's all kind of cool.
We're just not physically there with each other, but you know, we're talking, here we are. We're talking to each other over the magic of the interwebs.
Well, one of the things that, so before like social media and interactions, so I worked from home for the longest time, and I didn't have really any friend interactions. I worked from home. I didn't know anyone in the area. So when my husband would come home from work, I'm like, please get me out of this house. Mm. And what changed for me was the internet and talking to friends and playing World of Warcraft and talking to them through a game. And I, that fed that social need that I really wanted. And I actually found people that I had stuff in common with, because I had tried so many times to like find, you know, friends, but they're like, you play video games? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, okay. So I like seeing the positive of the internet that way, and being able to find your people. So
I agree 100%. I feel like we found our people, Nicole. You and I, we found our people.
We did.
We found our people. Well, thank you again for sharing all this. And okay, so, you know, why don't we just let you pimp your stuff? Like, what do you got going on in life?
Well, I fired Ladies Elite back up. It's pretty much once a month, but it's with Kim and Stephanie, and we just talk about video games. We're three old ladies talking about video games.
Old ladies, stop.
For the young ones, we're because the show, we started recording that back in 2009, and I'm like, what, 10 years? No. Yeah, it's been 10 years. So
yeah, you and I were just talking about, like, I was like, oh my God, you guys got reviews back from like 2009, and it's just so funny.
Yeah. So we've been talking about video games, and I love the show because it requires me to play video games. I love video games, but sometimes life kind of creeps up. So it's like, oh, I gotta play this game for Ladies League.
Oh, shucks. I have to play a game. Oh man.
But I love it so, and I love Stephanie and I love Kim, and they truly have become two of my best friends, and I just can't imagine not talking to them about video games. And I told you this before the show, I would just want to call them to talk about it, and I just happen to hit record, and that's how that show goes. So
that's how a lot of them start.
And it really does break all the rules. Like, it would not get past the first episode of America's Top Podcaster.
It's funny that, you know, I think that you have an opportunity just because you're a known entity to kind of break those rules, right?
I guess.
For us plebes down here in our neck of the woods, we're just we can't afford that, Nicole. Okay. Yeah.
So, of course, Ladies Lead is my baby, but I also work a lot on the Wood Whisperer, which is my husband does woodworking. I do more of the behind the scenes things, but I also do the Friday live show with him, which is more of a community base where we just talk to our audience and answer questions and just have fun. So that's really, really what we do.
Love it. And where can people reach you?
You can find me on Twitter, Nicole Spag. That's
sweet.
Easiest.
Excellent. Well, again, Nicole Spag, thank you for sharing a bit more around your context with this show. Do appreciate it.
I'm happy to do whatever. What? What?
So there you have it, Nicole Spag, everybody. And as you likely heard, she is no longer a judge on season 2 of America's Next Top Podcaster. Just too much stuff going on with between the Wood Whisperer, being a mom. Lots of stuff happening in life. So she is not participating, but you've likely not heard the last of her around these neck of the woods. So instead, we've brought on Jenny Josephson, another tenured podcaster, to the judges' table. And she will be taking Nicole's spot as a judge for season 2. And if you'd like to reach us, you can email toppodcaster@gmail.com. This has been Alex Albisu filling in for Brian Ibbett on America's Next Top Podcaster, the special Diary of a Reality Competition podcast contestant segment. We'll see you guys next time.